Chapter 14. The Typhoon. During those days near Japan, there were no clouds, and the bright hot sun shone down, making the calm water appear like glass. It was the beginning of the whaling season on the equator. Ahab often checked where the Pequod was, using his sextant and the position of the sun to keep the ship on the right course. However, one day he could be seen looking up and talking madly, as if to the sun.
"You help me to know where I am," he said. "But where is Moby Dick? You must even now be able to see him too."
Then he looked again at his sextant.
"Useless toy," he shouted, throwing it down onto the deck. "It is useless to expect help from above. I will find my way without you."
Starbuck heard this and shook his head.
"Oh, angry old man," he said. "Because of you, soon there will be nothing left of us all."
But Stubb answered him.
"I heard Ahab say, someone has made me play this game, and there is no other game, so I must play it. And I think he's right. We must live in his game and die in it."
In that part of the world, bright, hot weather brings with it terrible storms. And one day, toward the evening, out of the cloudless sky, came a typhoon. When darkness fell, the Pequod's sails were torn, and thunder crashed above her bare masts. Great rolling waves crashed against the side of the ship and stove in the stern of Ahab's whaleboat as it hung there.
"This is bad indeed, Mr. Starbuck," said Stubb, looking at the wreck. "But never mind, we can't fight the storm and it's all good fun."
"You're a madman," cried Starbuck.
Then he got hold of Stubb by the shoulder and pointed to the east.
"Look, the typhoon has come from the east, where Ahab wants to go to hunt the white whale. And look at Ahab's boat. It is stove in exactly where Ahab stands in the stern."
"I don't understand," said Stubb. "What do you mean?"
But Starbuck did not seem to hear Stubb. And when he spoke again, it was to himself.
"If we sailed west, we would go around the Cape of Good Hope and home to Nantucket. The wind that is against us now would drive us home if we turned the ship around."
At that moment, against the blackness of the night, we suddenly saw fire dancing around the top of each mast as lightning hit them all. All the men could be seen looking upward in that ghostly light. Dagoo looked three times his enormous height. Tashtego's teeth looked like the teeth of a shark, and Queequeg's tattoos made patterns like little blue fires on his body. Suddenly, we heard Ahab's voice shouting excitedly,
"Look up at the fires! The masts are candles which show us the way to the white whale!"
Then Starbuck cried out,
"Look at your boat, old man!"
All of us turned and looked at Ahab's wrecked boat. There was still a harpoon pointing out from the boat's bow, and from its metal end came a white tongue of fire. As the harpoon burned, Starbuck took hold of Ahab by the arm.
"God is against you, old man," he cried. "Let us end this voyage now while we can. We can use this wind to blow us home, to go on a better voyage than this one."
Like Starbuck, we were all terrified by the sight of the fire from the harpoon. Immediately, we all ran to our places at the rigging, as if to change the course of the ship. But Ahab took hold of the burning weapon and waved it in the air, and his anger terrified us even more than the fire coming from it.
"You swore to hunt the white whale as I did," he shouted. "I will hunt him, and so will you. And look, I'm going to blow away the last fear."
Taking a deep breath, he blew out the fire. But hearing him, many of the crew ran away in terror. As the typhoon blew all around the Pequod, parts of the rigging tore away from the masts, and the ship pulled at its anchors. But Ahab would not let Starbuck touch the rigging or lift the anchors. At last, some hours after midnight, the winds finally became weaker. Ahab went to his cabin, and Stubb and Starbuck set 3 small sails and a course for the helmsman. Starbuck then went down to the captain's cabin, as the first mate had to do, to tell Ahab about setting the ship's course. Shortly afterwards, I heard him come up from the cabin and speak to Stubb.
"He's too deeply asleep, Mr. Stubb. You go down and try to wake him and tell him. You know what to say to him."
Stubb disappeared from the deck, and Starbuck stood by the bulwarks and stared down into the sea.
"He would have shot me,"
I heard him say to himself.
"He would have shot me with his gun when I mentioned the leaking oil. Just now, I went to tell him that there was a good wind and his course was set. But the old man was asleep. I looked at him and thought about how crazy he is and how he will kill himself and me and all his crew if he continues to hunt the white whale. He would be the murderer of more than 30 men. He was just there, sleeping. But he was still alive and he would soon be awake again. If he never wakes up, I thought, I might live and go home and hug my wife and my child again. Oh, Mary. Mary. Oh, my boy. Would I be a murderer if I shot him?" "And I did pick up his gun," Starbuck went on, "and I pointed it at him. Oh, God, help me. I said, shall I do this? Shall I kill him?" But instead, I spoke to the captain.
"The wind has gone down, sir, and we have set the sails, and she is following the course she wanted."
And it was as if the old man heard me in his sleep and spoke his dream aloud. "Oh, Moby Dick, I have lanced your heart at last," he said. Then I lowered the gun because my arms were shaking, and I left the cabin.